It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. I am your host, Colbert. It is a Thursday edition of the show. Hope your day's going well. Thank you so much for your attendance. It is October 5th of 2023. And however you are tuned in, I appreciate it. Could be on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM. On our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, or I should say X, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, at RealColbert, and like our Facebook page. If you're on the Zuck machine, type in 1650thefan, you'll find us. Just hammer that like button, you'll be all set and ready to go. You'll get more local and statewide sports in your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Also, bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. It's the home of all sorts of local, statewide, national sports content, audio on demand, including the podcast of this show, the podcast of the Coach's Huddle, and, of course, also, you can get other audio on demand, like the Waterloo Blackhawks Minute for your Thursday. So, check it out. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. Number to dial if you want to join in with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. If you'd rather email than call, you can do it. We have the technology. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, fire away. Just know I might read your email on the air. All right, coming up today on the show, like usual, we'll lead it off here in a little bit by digging into the stack of area sports news and scores, some big breaking news earlier today, and just another reminder, that's why you should follow us on social media and bookmark our website, because a lot of times before getting something on the air, as quick as you can get it, we can get it online and onto our social media channels, so we'll get to that big news among a whole bunch else that's in the stack today in just a few short moments. After we're done with area sports news and scores, we'll take our first time out, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. Of course, they'll get you the 411 on tonight's Thursday night football game if you want to bet a shekel or two. My Chicago Bears in the nation's capital to take on the Washington Commanders. Pregame coverage is going to begin at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15, and it's bad is not an adjective that does it justice right now for where things stand with my football team, one of the NFL's charter franchises, the Chicago Bears. They've lost 15 in a row. Going back to the last time the Bears won a game, if I got this right, I heard it earlier today. I think I got this. It was October 24th of last year when the Bears beat the Patriots. Bears have not won a game since. It's almost been an entire calendar year. They've lost 15 in a row, like I mentioned, and second-year head coach Matt Eberflus formerly the Indianapolis Colts defensive coordinator, is 3-18 in his coaching career with the Chicago Bears. And there's some speculation, some smoke out there, that despite the fact the Bears have never fired a head coach during the season, that if the Bears are embarrassed tonight, if they lose and are embarrassed in the fashion in which they lose, it's possible Matt Eberflus might be coaching his last game. That's how bad it is. That's how miserable it is. How abysmal it is. How awful, terrible, wretched, disgusting. All of the adjectives. It's so bad. I mean, the worst part is, if anybody in the Bears organization is listening right now, I've largely become apathetic, which is the worst thing that any revenue-based professional franchise, sports franchise, could ever want from its fan base, is apathy, where it's like you're just resigned to the fact that they don't know what the hell they're doing. You hope that they can figure it out, but you just have no faith that they will. I have a little faith because here's the thing. Just quickly, bear with me here on this Bears stuff. Here's the thing, though. Okay, you know, they got this new regime. It was new last year where Ryan Poles was hired from the Kansas City Chiefs front office to be the general manager. But in typical Bears McCaskey family fashion, Poles, who I think has done an okay job, like a good enough job that I don't think he should be in the crosshairs like Matt Eberflus. I do think that Matt Eberflus may need to get fired during the season. But I think Poles has done an okay job right now. The Bears, between their own suckage and having made or traded out of the number one overall pick before the last draft with the Carolina Panthers are looking miserable as well. If the season ended today, the Bears would have pick number one and pick number two. Now, they very well could screw that up. But that being said, the GM's, Ryan Poles, I think he's done a good job, an okay to good job. There's this whole Justin Fields thing. You know, you're going to see a whole bunch more of him before the season, and you're going to be able to figure out whether or not he's the guy worth keeping around. Doesn't look like he is right now. Played really well against the Broncos last Sunday. Career game for Fields. Who's to say what the hell that's worth against that Broncos defense? But the most important thing to get at here, because there's just so many wormholes to go down about the level of suckage that the Chicago Bears have demonstrated for quite some time now here, is that in typical Bears McCaskey family fashion, when they were running Ryan Pace out, the former GM, Matt Nagy, the former head coach, they formed a search committee, and that search committee hired the head coach, and then the Bears hired their general manager. Basically, they had a short list. They had a short list. Matt Eberflus was on it. Ryan Poles come in. He goes, here's the short list of coaches that this search committee we paid of outside people that don't work for us, that won't have to atone if this turns out to be a flop, which it has so far. Here's the short list. And they like Matt Eberflus more than everybody. And he goes, okay, I know Matt Eberflus. We have the same agent. All right. Signs off on hiring Matt Eberflus. But you know who was at the forefront of that hiring committee? Was former Colts GM Bill Polian. So go figure, they hire the Colts defensive coordinator. And the guy just doesn't look like he's cut out for the job. He sure seems like he's a really nice guy. Just doesn't seem like he's cut out for the job. And then after this messed up timeline gets underway of hiring out of order, then the team president of over 20 years, Ted Phillips, Sweaty Teddy, he retires. And they hire Kevin Warren, the former Big Ten commissioner, which I think is a really good hire. So now it's like, well, actually, if Warren and Poles are working well together, which all signs indicate they've got a great working relationship, how about these two guys go hire the coach they want? No search committees, no freaking Bill Polian, and then we'll go from there. And maybe they'll still suck. But That's kind of where a lot of this started. That's got it upside down. And Matt Eberflus 3-18. So we'll see tonight. I mean, if my Bears get embarrassed, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't bet on it, but I don't think it's out of the question, which is really saying something. So there you go. There's a great promo, I guess, for tuning in to Thursday Night Football tonight. If the Bears suck, their coach might get fired after 5 games. Here we are. Bears at Commanders, 6:30 pregame here on The Fan. We'll also get you a forecast at the end of that first timeout. We'll come back in the next segment and be joined by Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier Sports reporter Ethan Petrick. We'll talk a little Week 7 high school football with Ethan and UNI football, the Panthers in Indiana, to take on the Indiana State Sycamores Saturday night. After we're done talking with Ethan, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break in segment 3, and Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson will join the show. Big, big 8-player game, arguably the biggest game in the state, tomorrow night taking place at GR as the top-ranked Rebels, 6-0 this season, play host to undefeated and 9th-ranked Clarksville. So Coach Olson will join us, tell us about his team that obviously is having a great season, and also preview that big game tomorrow night at GR between the number one Rebels and the number 9 Indians. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Thursday and wrap up the show. All right, let's dive right in here. The big breaking news today, as we get into area sports news and scores, Waterloo West High School is looking for a new boys basketball coach. Yes, Cliff Baranobis, who had guided the Wahawks the past 9 seasons, resigned from the position today. Last season, the Wahawks went 18-6, and Baranobis recorded his 100th career win as the coach at West. His best season was in 2019-2020, when the Wahawks went 21-3, and Baranobis was named the MVC Valley Division Coach of the Year. All the best to Coach Baranobis. Meanwhile, this evening in Metro Volleyball, Class 5A 4th-ranked Cedar Falls hosting a triangular with Waverly Shellrock and West Delaware. And in boys and girls cross country in the Metro, Cedar Falls hosting the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet at Birdsall Park. Waterloo West, of course, among the schools competing. Week 7 of the high school football season kicks off tomorrow night, and in the Metro, beginning an 8-player, Waterloo Christian on the road at Riceville. The Regents are 1-5, Riceville 5-1. In Class 1A, 10th-ranked Waterloo Columbus Catholic is at home against East Marshall. That's a District 4 game. Sailors are 4-2, East Marshall 1-5. Waterloo East, Class 4A, takes on 2nd-ranked Western Dubuque. That's a District 2 matchup. The Trojans 2-4 this season. Bobcats are 5-1. Waterloo West plays host to West Des Moines Valley. The Wahawks are 4-2. The Tigers are 1-5. And the Cedar Falls Tigers on the road at Dubuque Senior. The 3-3 Tigers looking for their first road win of the season. Of course, like always, you'll be able to hear that game over on Cruisin' KCFI. Pregame around 7 with Dave Finnegan. Kickoff at 7:30. Meanwhile, tomorrow in Week 7 high school football games involving ranked teams, in Class 1A, top-ranked Grundy Center is at home against Al Burnett. 3rd-ranked Sumner Fredericksburg hosts Central Springs. 9th-ranked Dyke New Hartford plays at MFL Marmac. In Class A, 9th-ranked Wapsie Valley is at home against BCLUW. And an 8-player, top-ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck, as I told you, takes on 9th-ranked Clarksville at home. And 7th-ranked Don Bosco plays at Turkey Valley. The high school volleyball postseason pairings have been released. Class 1A and 2A regionals begin on Monday, October 16th. While 3A, 4A, and 5A regionals begin on Tuesday, October 18th. Here is who and where the Metro teams will be playing. In 5A, Cedar Falls will host the winner of Bettendorf and Davenport West on October 19th. Waterloo West will play at Dubuque Hempstead on October 19th. Waterloo East opens at Iowa City West on October 17th. In Class 2A, Waterloo Columbus travels to Durant on October 18th. And finally, the kickoff time for Iowa State's road game at Cincinnati has been released. The game will start at 11 a.m. on October 14th. That means a 9 a.m. pregame right here on The Fan next Saturday. This is, of course, Cincinnati's first season playing in the Big 12. Oh, and one more. My mistake. UNI women's soccer taking on Murray State this afternoon. That match began at 3. We do have a final score. Murray State with a 4-1 win over the Panthers. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk Week 7 high school football and some UNI Panther football. Ethan Petrick of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
We start in the NFL where tonight Week 5 starts. Bears and Commanders, 8:15 Eastern time. Chicago enters the game, one of two winless teams in the National Football League. The other winless team are the Carolina Panthers. They're in Detroit to face the Lions, but Lions wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown missed his second straight practice today because of an ab injury. Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins, a no-show in practice. He was out because of his rib injury. While the Steelers are getting good news on quarterback Kenny Pickett, he practiced fully today and is expected to start against the Ravens coming up on Sunday. And the NFL Network says the Bills are bringing linebacker Von Miller with the team to London, as there's a chance Miller could play against the Jaguars. He's been out since last November when he tore his ACL. Former Northwestern head football coach Pat Fitzgerald has filed a $130 million lawsuit against the school for wrongful termination. In baseball, Mets GM Billy Epler resigned. Lakers forward LeBron James won't play in Saturday's preseason opener.
This is John Walters, voice of the Cyclones. Get the latest on Cyclone Athletics with Mark Simpson. Weekday mornings, 6 to 8 on Maximum Mornings, right here on 1650 The Fan.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
Hot tubs, saunas, pools, chemicals, parts, grills, pellets, seasonings are all available locally at Tubs R Us. I'm Mike with Tubs R Us. We've been serving the Cedar Valley since 1994 with reputable service and quality products like QCA spas. Stop into our showroom to explore ways to turn your home into an oasis with a new spa, sauna, pool, or smoker grill. Whether you want quality time with your loved ones, to simply relax, or to entertain friends, we're here for you. We are Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls and Ainsboro, Waterloo.
The exterior of your business is the first thing people will notice about you, and this includes your parking lot. When someone pulls into your business, what do they see? If your lot is not well maintained, they just may see your competitor. Let us help you make a better first impression. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Our customers know us for our extraordinary service. You see, we'll work around your business hours to avoid disruptions. We use superior products, and we pay attention to the little details. This keeps our customers coming back time and time again. Call us or go online to alinestriping.com.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Introducing Hall of Fame Bets, the edge you need to beat the books. Use code WINNER to get 50% off your first month today. HOFBets.com. That's HOFBets.com.
Iowa hosting Purdue on Saturday. The Hawkeyes bet down from a 3.5 to a 2.5 point home favorite. The total has gone from 41 to 38.5. TCU visits Iowa State at Jack Trice Stadium. The Horned Frogs open as 5.5-point favorites. That number bet up to 6.5 points. The total has gone from 50 to 52. The Chicago Bears on Thursday night at the Washington Commanders as 6.5-point road underdogs. 44.5 the total at FedEx Field. The Kansas City Chiefs have been bet down from a 6-point to a 5.5-point favorite at the Minnesota Vikings Sunday. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 46. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 53. Lows around 38 tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm Saturday with daytime highs approaching 58. 65 Sunday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 69.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. We're joined now by Ethan Petrick, Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier sports writer. Follow Ethan on X at Ethan_Petrick, P-E-T R-I-K. We're going to talk a little high school football and some UNI Panther football. Ethan, thanks as always for being here. How are you today, man?
Well, like I told you, I'm out at Birdsall for the super meet, so I'm having a great day. And we're getting back to that football weather we talked about one of the last times I was on the show. So
yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, football weather is making its arrival, and we'll look forward to reading your coverage of the MVC super meet later on at the WCFCourier.com. Let's start by talking week seven of the high school football season. I know last time you were on, you had mentioned Denver. The Cyclones had really caught your eye ahead of their loss to Sumner Fredericksburg. Maybe looking a little beyond those two great teams as we enter a week where I think it's seven ranked area teams are going to be in action tomorrow night. There's a great eight-player matchup between Gladbrook, Rhinebeck, and Clarksville. Who besides Denver has really caught your eye, Ethan?
Well, I, like I said on our high school sports podcast, I hate to be a bandwagon reporter here, but, you know, Sumner Fredericksburg, they caught my eye in just what they were able to do and shutting down the Denver rush attack, particularly inside the 10-yard line, because they forced three and outs inside the 10, and it's a two-score football game. So that was really impressive by the Cougars. I'm really excited to see Gladbrook, Rhinebeck. I'll be out to see the Rebels this Friday as they take on Clarksville. I think that's going to be a great matchup. That's been a group of athletes, seniors, that have really been quite the athletic superstars for Gladbrook, Rhinebeck. So I'm excited to see that. I saw them last year in a three-point game against Don Bosco where they lost. And I think if you're kind of looking at it, it was like two programs. One was kind of maybe a little bit on the decline as they had some players age out.
Yep.
And then Gladbrook, Rhinebeck was on the rise. And so I thought that was a great litmus test last season, and I think that they've proven to be a steadily improving, trending upward asset since then.
When it comes to Sumner Fredericksburg, I had their coach, Jacob Coyle, on the show yesterday, Ethan, and I told Coach Coyle when he was on that one thing that sticks out to me about his team is that nobody has, like, there's not one ball carrier or receiver or quarterback that has monster numbers. And given their record, given the teams that the Cougars have beat, Ethan, I think it really demonstrates that it's one of those teams that's just finding a way to win. They've got a number of different ways that they can be successful, it seems, and they're just getting the job done, which I think is maybe about as dangerous as a team can be in high school football.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, they almost have a thunder and lightning, like Reggie Bush, Lindell White sort of situation going on in the backfield with Noah Henderson and Jackson Willems, who I think both provide something different in their running style, but are both very valuable assets. And so Noah kind of stole the show early on at Sharp Field in Denver last Friday, and then Jackson kind of put the game away with two big runs on their final scoring drive. So it has been impressive what they've been able to do offensively throughout the year. And I think all of them, when I talked to them, all Davis and Jackson both said it starts up front. So I think they're really built through that offensive line.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of their success is coming from, because they have had so much success in the trenches.
How about the Cedar Falls Tigers? They're 3-3. They're on the road tomorrow night at Dubuque Senior, a team that on paper they should beat, but the Tigers have not won yet on the road this season. Before the season, anybody paying attention knew that this was going to be a really tough schedule, and it's sure proven to be that. I mean, Coach Remmert's team is about as battle-tested as you can be through 6 weeks.
Well, I'm sure Doug, or Mark Simpson, my apologies, Mark Simpson could tell you all about the game against Pleasant Valley last week, where it comes down to a three-point game, and they come back in the second half. And I think that tells you a lot about what the Tiger season has been like. I feel like they're constantly playing from behind, but finding ways to be competitive in games. Even the last game I went to cover Cedar Falls was a win in the Dome, and it was a sloppy game, but they found a way to win, and I just think that's kind of where the team's at is maybe they're not able to pull away from everybody, but they're able to compete with everybody, and that makes them a dangerous team, right? And
yeah.
So getting a big road win might be the confidence they need to become that team that can pull away from opponents. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to face the Tigers right now if I was any team on their schedule, whereas I wouldn't want to face anyone on their schedule if I was the Tigers either.
Ethan Petrick, Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier sports reporter, our guest right now on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Ethan, let's shift gears and talk UNI Panther football. We were both there at the Dome last weekend to watch the Panthers get a dramatic 44-41 win over then number 19 Youngstown State. What's still front of mind for you thinking back on the Panthers' win over the Penguins?
Well, we talked about it on the Panther Extra Show, which came out today. We recorded it today, came out today. And Jim and I had kind of expected it to be a physical matchup where you and I needed to match Youngstown State physically. And what I was surprised by was it wasn't that. It wasn't that they matched each other physically. It was that Youngstown State matched you and I explosively,
yeah,
which was not really what I had that Youngstown State offense tabbed as. And so what I'm coming away from that game taking away is that teams have to play to you and I. So whenever you're the team that teams have to play to, that probably means you're the more talented team. That probably means you're the better team. So if they can keep teams in that situation, they're going to more often than not be the better team at playing that kind of game because that is the game that they play. So I'm really confident in what the Panthers showed us on Saturday. I told Jim, I think we know about 85% of what this team is, and we're going to get that final 15% and 100% know what the Panthers are working with this year, this weekend in Terre Haute against Indiana State.
Yeah, I think a big part of that 15% you mentioned there is what can this defense do to really find itself. Through four games, Ethan, they're averaging, they're allowing 30.5 points per game to their opponents, albeit doesn't work out so bad when you've got such an explosive offense to back you up. But there's some positives, but there remain some big question marks with Coach Farley's defense.
Well, I know why you're bringing it up. You want to, you know, call out the great question you asked about Corey Thomas not seeing the field after he gets lit up for a 67-yard pass on the first drive of the game, the first play from scrimmage. And I certainly think the defense is the biggest question mark. Looking at it, Indiana State's defense, you want to look at them and say, well, they're nothing special, ranked eighth in the conference, but number seven in the conference is you and I.
Yeah.
And so you've seen the shift in the last 2 years where it used to be defense was winning games for you and I, and it's not so much anymore. It's more the offense winning, and you're just wondering if it's an issue with the defense. This is the changing landscape of football where offenses are taking over. And so I certainly do think there are more question marks on defense, and I feel like that's kind of been the center of Coach Farley whenever he's talking about the issues that they're having. It's communication issues on defense.
Yeah.
The offense, it was just get the offensive line right and they're going to be fine. He mentions that Theo's got some stuff he needs to clean up, but even that version of Theo is throwing for 3 touchdowns in the dome, 4 touchdowns in the dome for and 300 yards. So the non-perfect version of Theo that they have, the non-perfect version of the offense they have, is doing enough to score points against opponents. It's the defense that needs to figure things out. So I think you're absolutely dead on that final 15% is the defense.
And to me, it's that cornerback spot, like you mentioned. You know, got to figure out who the guy is there. They've got enough guys. There should be somebody who emerges, you know, and for their sake, sooner than later. I think Caden Hotelling coming back at some point. I think it might be the South Dakota State game the week after this one would be a big addition for the defensive line, particularly the pass rush. And along with Hotelling and the pass rush, if you're watching closely, Bryce Popp continues to tinker with those rotations on that defensive line. We talked plenty in the preseason about transfers that have added depth there. Those are the things I'm watching closest. Who knows? It may be something else that helps this defense improve. But that's what I really got my eyes on, Ethan.
Well, that's what Cade Chambers has his eyes on as well this weekend. He said in his press conference that they know that the strength of you and I is the defensive line, and he can't hold the ball too long or else he's going to end up on the ground. So I think that's a place to look at, but I don't think it's a place that there's question marks. I think they just have they're messing with the rotations because they have so many dudes on that offensive line that are capable of making wreaking havoc on offenses. And so I think they have the respect and the attention of anybody they're going to come across on the defensive line.
What else strikes you about, if anything, with respect to the Sycamores, who are 0-4, winless this season, about this game? I mean, it's the road games, cliche, but road games are never easy, and the Sycamores are going to make you and I sit around all day for, I think it's a 6 o'clock local?
7 local, 6
yeah.
local.
Yeah, okay.
7 Eastern, 6 local.
Yeah, 7 Eastern, 6 local kickoff time. So that can be a factor, but, I mean, what, if anything, else is registering with you about Panthers Sycamores?
I think if you and I is at an 85% known right now, I think Indiana State's at a negative 15 because they did get Cade Chambers back for the first time last week. He was MVFC. Freshman of the year in 2023, and they also haven't gotten their running back, Justin Dinka, back at full strength yet. So they're looking at their number one and number two offensive weapons, and they
yep.
haven't had them for the majority of the year or had them at full strength for the majority of the year. So they don't know anything about their offense. And their defense is still looking to prove itself. You listen to Jonathan Edwards, he's a defensive back for them. He was a second team of the last year. And he is looking at this game as a chance for the Indiana State Sycamores to prove themselves and really show what they can do. And so I think there's a lot of unknowns about Indiana State, and whenever there's a lot of unknowns, it's a dangerous opponent, no matter how bad their record is.
Ethan, great stuff as always. Appreciate your time, and we'll continue to read your coverage at WCFCourier.com.
All right, thanks, Cole.
Thank you. Ethan Petrick, Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier, kind enough to join us on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Yeah, just looked at the forecast for Terre Haute, Indiana. Terradice on Saturday, you're looking at a high of 61. Little breezy, nothing too bad. Winds northwest at 15. The northwest wind going to blow in some cool air later at night. A low of 38 degrees. So football weather, like Ethan mentioned, not just going to be taking place tomorrow night for week 7 of the high school football season, but for the UNI Panthers out in Terre Haute, Indiana, as they will take on the Sycamores Saturday night at 6. All right, let's take this next time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side, and we will talk high school football with Gladbrook Rhinebeck coach John Olson. As I mentioned today and talked with Ethan a little bit there in this segment, the Rebels, top-ranked N8 player, play host to number 9 Clarksville. Rebels 6-0 this season. The Indians 7-0. Massive game. Coach Olson joins to talk about it next right here on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. A revamped Iowa offense looks to make progress Saturday against Purdue. Already without star tight end Luke Lachey, the Hawkeyes lost quarterback Cade McNamara to a season-ending ACL injury in a win over Michigan State. Sophomore Deacon Hill gets his first start against the Boilermakers. The offensive line has gotten its share of the blame for a struggling offense. Junior running back LeSean Williams says everyone will play a part in getting it fixed.
Yeah, I can set the tone better. I mean, I can get down heal faster, make a couple guys missing, really just set the tone, be physical, and, you know, get the guys hype on offense. And yeah, it all started with us, just the RBs in general, just setting the tone, being physical and running hard.
And revised Big Ten schedules for next season finds the Hawkeyes hosting Nebraska, Northwestern, Washington, and Wisconsin, and visiting Maryland, Michigan State, Minnesota, Ohio State, and UCLA. This is Radio Iowa.
So why do I need vaccinations?
If I don't get vaccinated, how sick could I get?
Can I get multiple vaccines at once?
What's done to make sure vaccines are safe?
It's important to address your concerns about vaccines. Just make sure to get answers from people you can trust, not from a social post or an opinion on the internet. Instead, ask your healthcare provider about vaccinations, because they know you, and they'll always put your health first. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
When you don't know who to talk to about alcohol and drug use, gambling, mental health, suicidal thoughts, and more, you can always turn to Your Life Iowa. We are here to help no matter the challenge you may be facing, whether it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, mental health, suicidal thoughts, or a related concern. With Your Life Iowa, you're never alone. You can call us, text us, or chat with us online 24/7. Start at yourlifeiowa.org. We're your everyday life support.
A message from Iowa HHS.
What does it mean to be bold? To me, being bold means to dream bigger, live better, and make an impact. I'm Dr. Jared Smith, Superintendent of Schools for the Waterloo Community School District, where we're gearing up for another awesome and enriching school year. With over 10,000 students across 21 campuses, our district remains one of the largest in the state of Iowa. We use our 21st century curriculum to teach our students to be bold, and we couldn't do any of this without the strong, ongoing support of our parents, teachers, staff, administrators, local businesses, and city officials. Thank you all for everything you do to support the Waterloo Community School District, with the ultimate objective of helping each student in the district to be bold and achieve their goals. Learn more about how we provide educational opportunities for every student at waterlooschools.org.
The Waterloo Community School District, where the future is now.
Fall is here, and there is something for everyone at the Family YMCA. Register now for youth dance and flag football. Swim lessons begin at the end of the month. Before and after school programs are ramping up. Taekwondo is available for all ages and abilities. 40 plus fitness classes per week to meet your athletic level. Free wellness orientations to get you started in the right direction. The Family YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
When your car is not acting right, bring it to us. I'm Roger with Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We'll diagnose your issue and give you an estimate of what it would take to get you back on the road again. Our prices are low and we won't sell you something you don't really need. Our customers stay with us because they trust us. That's peace of mind that's hard to find today. Come see us at Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
It's college football on the Gridiron Radio Network, and we're in Death Valley as the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest come to Clemson to tangle with the Tigers. The Deacs have a trio of talent on offense in Claiborne, Morin, and Banks. The Tigers can move the chains with Shipley in the backfield, and under center is Klubnik.
Klubnik will get the call right up the middle. Here he goes. Has some room at the 40. He's in midfield. It's a foot race.
It's Wake Forest at Clemson this Saturday on the Gridiron Radio Network.
Pre-game coverage begins at 2 right here on The Fan.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan, and a number of great ranked area matchups in Week 7 of the high school football season that will take place tomorrow night. And I think the headliner has got to be an 8-player, as you've got top-ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck playing host to 9th-ranked Clarksville. Both teams undefeated headed into this game, and we're pleased now, in terms of getting a preview of it, to be joined by Gladbrook Rhinebeck high school football coach John Olson. Coach Olson, thanks for being back on the show. How are you today?
Oh, doing great, and appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, pleasure's all mine. How about we start with last Friday, a 56-14 win on the road at BGM. Road wins are never easy, so what did you like most about your team's effort?
Well, I'd tell you the week of practice was just amazing. Our kids really got after it. We played a BGM team who I think is second and third in the state in the offense, scoring 60 points a game or somewhere in that neighborhood, and they're very complicated on the offensive side of the ball, and so we always hang our hat on defense, and we really focused on it. Our kids really stepped up. We did a tremendous job. I think we forced 4 turnovers, maybe. They did score in the first possession, but we made it a 10-play drive, which is what our defense wants to do, and after that, we kind of took the reins and took over the game, but it was hard work. BGM's really good at offense, and we did a heck of a job on defense.
Coach Olson, tell me a little bit more about your defense. That group has as many interceptions, 13, as sacks this season. That's pretty remarkable. What's gone into that level of success when it comes to taking the ball away?
Well, I think we make it easy for them. You know, we say that BGM's offense was complicated, but we try to take each individual player and their position and make it simple for them, like what they're looking for and what their read is. We also, if I notice, guys, we play a zone defense, and that makes us stronger against the run. It makes the quarterback maybe hold the ball just a tiny bit longer, which helps our pass rush. Plus, we've got some really good dudes up front that can really get after it. There are 3 juniors up front that do a heck of a job, and we have 2 senior linebackers who 2 years ago weren't linebackers. Last year, we taught them how to be linebackers, and they are doing a tremendous job right now. And on the back end, we have some younger guys playing, but they've got some speed to them, and so they make up for any mistakes we might make up front.
One of those guys up front, your junior Drew Eilers, 5 sacks, 16 TFLs this season. That's the type of young guy that can wreck a ball game, isn't it, Coach?
Oh, for sure. He's got a motor. You don't have to tell him anything twice. So if he makes a mistake, you correct it. He fixes it right away. Got a lot of experience. You know, he loves football. I mean, he lifts weights all off season for football, even though he's a heck of a baseball player and a basketball player too. But, man, he loves football, and he loves getting after it, and just a wonderful guy to coach.
In the back end of that defense, a sophomore, Hudson Clark, he has 5 interceptions this season. That's the type of thing, Coach, where as much as, you know, your scheme and your play calling can put a guy in a good spot, some of that's just got to be a knack for the football, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, it definitely comes down to the players. You know, our defensive coaches do a tremendous job at getting those kids in the right spot, you know, teaching them what they need to do, but these kids still have to respond to that. And, man, have they ever responded to that. You said he's got 5 picks, and one or two touchdowns there on the pick six, and I think he's got three or four special teams touchdowns, and he just is a guy that has a knack for the ball. You know, sometimes against running teams, he plays downhill, and against passing teams like BGM, he's going to drop back, and he's able to do a little bit of everything.
Just to kind of wrap up the conversation about your Rebel defense, Coach Olson, what's something through six games that, as good as you guys have played, you've identified, whether it's your eye test or looking at the film, perhaps both, I'd imagine, on we're playing really good, but we could be better at this or we could be better at that, guys?
Well, I think that's when you have a simple defense that is really keyed on fundamentals and reads. You know, honestly, we can pick apart every single play and every single practice and every single game, and it wasn't perfect. You know, if one step is off, it's not perfect. So I think our guys strive for perfection. You know, no one's ever going to get there. But, man, if we get close to that, we're going to be pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. So you can pick apart things really easy as long as you don't look at the results. You know, if you look at the results of a play, somebody can get a pick and a sack, and they might do everything wrong. So we're not worried about the results until the fourth quarter. But, man, between now and then, we really focus on those fundamentals.
Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson, our guest right now on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. The Rebels have a top 10 8-player matchup tomorrow night at home against number 9 Clarksville. The Rebels top ranked, both teams undefeated heading into that game. We'll talk about it with Coach here in just a little bit. But Coach, just to kind of back up a little bit here and just looking at your entire team collectively through six games, what's been most encouraging? What have you liked the most about this 2023 Rebel football team so far?
You know, we talk about defense a lot, and there's reasons why, but our offensive line play has really progressed. You know, we lost some linemen coming into this year on offensive line, and we've had some players step up. We've got a new center and Landon Brubaker, and Roberts plays a little bit too at the center position, and Jace Anywhere plays at guard, and Michael Boyd is a returner for us. So developing those guys, guys that didn't play a whole lot last year or maybe not even their freshman year, and now they're all juniors up front except for that Landon Brubaker is a senior and first year starting for him. So those guys have progressed a lot, which really helps our running game, helps our passing game, and which, you know, clearly is why we're doing pretty good on offense as well, because we're scoring a lot of points on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you guys got some great balance on offense, which I would imagine is a big part of what makes you such a formidable opponent, and a lot of it coming from your senior quarterback, Isaac Clark. He's the leading passer and rusher. I know Isaac would credit his offensive lineman, which you were just talking about, Coach Olson, but talk to us about that senior QB and, you know, what he has in terms of tools to be able to produce like he has.
Well, he's really matured this year in the sense of how we call plays. I think last year, even though he started a little bit as a freshman, his sophomore year started a lot, actually started with Drew Eilers at quarterback. Shows you how good of a player Drew Eilers is. He can do about anything. But Isaac is, as a junior, started every game for us, and now he's a senior, and things come really easy for him, you know, as far as play calls or his memory from what happened, you know, 4 weeks ago or what happened 2 years ago. So for him to progress, he's doing a really good job in that area, and he's just got a really strong arm. You know, when he gets maybe a little bit of pressure here and there, he's able to throw it 30, 40 yards downfield, and he's really accurate with it. Our receivers do a good job of getting right where they're supposed to be, and when all that breaks down, heck of a good athlete, too. Mm-hmm. So he can take off and run and make us as coaching staff look pretty good.
Elsewhere on your offense, Austin Verka, Hudson Clark have contributed both on the ground and as pass catchers, Coach. That's credit to those guys. You got to be bright young minds to have a command of the playbook and know where to be all the time. Beyond that, what would you tell us about Austin and Hudson?
Well, Austin Verka is a guy who, you know, last year was definitely a really good running back when he had the ball in his hands. But when he didn't have it in his hands, you know, he wasn't too sure what to do necessarily. And so his hard work in the offseason in the weight room, man, that has that grown. It's been tremendous. He might be our best blocker on our football team, you know, at 175 pounds, whatever he is. And He just does a tremendous job leading the way for Isaac when we're running powers and things like that. So he just does a great job and great hands. You know, we probably throw in the ball a whole lot more, but we've got Hudson Clark on our team too, and and Drew Eilers on our team, and Austin Gehring on our team, and a freshman and Trey Heron on our team. So they just do a tremendous job of really doing what they're coached to do and then making us look better because they've just got some special skills to them.
Anything that the offense is focused on improving as the postseason draws near here? Maybe, Coach, it's as simple as, you know, adding a few new wrinkles and getting command of that to have something new to offer opponents. What can you tell us?
Yeah, you know, we probably need to just shore up some things. There's not a whole lot that we need to add. We've got a lot of stuff that we've done in practice that maybe we haven't shown yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a big secret or anything. It's just, you know, we haven't run a ton of offensive plays when you're ahead
mm-hmm.
by a lot in games. So we just got to make sure when we're running trap or running power or we're running some loop route, it's exactly where it needs to be at exactly the right time. And then, oops, what happens when it's not? We need to know what plan B is on the run, you know. So we need to get through all those situational things because we're playing Clarksville this week, and they're undefeated, and they're pretty darn good. So they're going to definitely make us do stuff that we don't want to do, and we got to be good at those things. And hopefully we're better at those things than they are and get a win on Friday night.
Well, let's talk about that big matchup. I think it's one of the best in the state here this week, and they're 7-0, you're 6-0. As I mentioned before, you guys top rank, Clarksville ranked number 9. What's the scouting report on the Indians?
Well, you know, last week we played BGM, who throws 50 times a game, and now we're playing Clarksville, who runs 50 times a game. And a little bit is because they want to, but they're really good at it. I mean, they got guys up front that can really get after it. Three guys in the backfield that are not only fast, but, man, they're big and strong and physical. But we got a huge test or a challenge in front of us, and I tell you what our defense loves. It loves challenges. You know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be complicated. It's going to be difficult, and we truly like that. You know, we want that challenge, and I don't know if we'll be able to handle it or not, but we're going to find out on Friday. But I know this week of practice has been great on the mm-hmm. defensive side of the ball, just like it was last week. So I hope when the test shows up and the game shows up, our guys show up, and I'm sure they will have lots of confidence.
Have you played an opponent, albeit perhaps with respect to them, not at the level of Clarksville, given how successful they've been this season? But, Coach Olson, have you played an opponent that's been incredibly run dominant like the Indians will be that you could draw from at all before strapping it up tomorrow night?
You know, I don't want to put anybody else down or say anything or forget somebody, but no. You know, Clarksville is a team that not only wants to run the ball, but they're really good at doing that. And no matter what you show them for a front or, you know, what kind of blitz package you bring at them or whatever you got, you know, they're going to do their thing. And they have run rules that they have, and they coach really well by Coach Bowen, who's got those kids in the weight room. They're really progressing as athletes in every sport. I know some are really good at wrestling. And so it's like I said, it's going to be a tough challenge. Our guys will be prepared for it, and I know they're going to be prepared for it. They got a really good, you know, thriving program right now over there, and so it's going to be exciting. We're ready to roll.
How about this, Coach, before I let you go, beyond the obvious, you got to contain, I don't think it'd be fair to Clarksville to say stop the run, but you got to try to hold that run down, contain it a little bit. Beyond that, what would be one or two things you'd point to and think, man, if we do this, I really like our chances?
Yeah, you know, it's going to come down to offensive efficiency. You know, in 8-man football, you get the ball 15 times a game. In 11-man football, you only get 8 or 9 times a game. You're going to get the ball more, so you have more chances to score. The field's a little shorter, so now you don't have to go quite as far. So if we're putting together drives that are only 40 or 50 yards to score, and we score on a decent amount of them, we're going to have a lot of points. You know, I know it sounds simple, but that's how it works mm-hmm. in 8-man with math. And if we're kicking the ball to the back of the end zone after we score and they got to go, you know, 65 yards every time, yeah, they're good, man. They can do that, but can they do it 10 times in a game? You know,
right.
It just comes down to that because we've been involved in games before that are maybe 55-14, and if we screw up twice and they get two big plays, just like that, it's, you know, whatever that math is, it's 32-28. It's crazy how a big spread in an 8-man game can be really tight in a matter of 2 or 3 plays.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coach Olson, thanks so much for your time on the show today. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy learning more about your Gladbrook Rhinebeck Rebels football team. Best of luck tomorrow night.
You bet. Thank you very much.
All right, let's take this final time out. We'll get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company and wrap up the show.
I'm Omar Reese with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Who says you can't go home again? After leaving the Patriots in 2022 to sign with the Chargers, cornerback J.C. Jackson is now heading back to New England, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. In exchange, the two teams will swap late-round picks in 2025. The Patriots had a need at corner because Rappaport reports Christian Gonzalez will likely miss the rest of the season after injuring his shoulder last Sunday. Gonzalez was just named NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month for September. Jonathan Taylor's tenure as Colt may not be over yet. The running back was designated to return from physically unable to perform list and practice for the first time all season Wednesday. Also back at practice, Rams receiver Cooper Kupp, who is designated to return from injured reserve. And Bills linebacker Von Miller practiced for the first time since injuring his knee last November. He'll travel with the team to London, a sign he could be playing against the Jaguars this Sunday. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
There's a whole lot of savings going on now at Staples. During Staples Sit-A-Thon, you can save up to $150 on select office and desk chairs. And when you buy a chair, you save 25% on desks, storage solutions, and office accessories. Plus, your local Staples now accepts Amazon returns. And when you return an Amazon order at Staples, you receive a coupon for $10 off your next $30 Staples purchase. Now is definitely the time to save at Staples. Chair offer ends 10/28, in-store only. Exclusions apply on Amazon offer.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When people look at your farm, they just see corn. But to you, it's a lot more than that. It's a college fund, your retirement plan. And it deserves trait protection that can stand up to heavy pressure threats like corn woodworm. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is trusted on over 1 million acres to protect the things that mean more. Trade up at SmartStaxPro.com. Always read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices. Copyright 2023 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Sunday on Compass Media Networks, it's a coast-to-coast showdown in the NFC as the Los Angeles Rams welcome in the Philadelphia Eagles. Hi, this is Jeff Biggs. Join Bill Rosinski, Steve Berline, and me for all the action as the Eagles look to remain perfect against Matthew Stafford and the Rams. It's the Eagles and the Rams. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Pre-game coverage begins at 2:30, kickoff at 3, right here on The Fan.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. When you're stuck in a division with an elite quarterback, teams have a tendency to take risk in order to close the gap under center. Sometimes it works. Look at how the Dolphins' trajectory has changed since trading for Tyreek Hill. But when you swing for the fences, sometimes you whiff. The AFC West is a perfect example of that. In order to catch up with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos have all taken significant risk. And this week, it all came crashing down. The Raiders released star pass rusher Chandler Jones after giving him a three-year, $51 million contract. The Chargers traded J.C. Jackson back to the Patriots. They spent $82 million on him. And Randy Gregory, he's now out of Denver. He had a five-year, $70 million contract. All three franchises had Super Bowl aspirations as recent as last season. But this is a subtle reminder of what life is like after going all in and falling short. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
When was the last time you watched your home movies?
Disasters strike unexpectedly. Every year, American families lose the one thing they'd run back into a burning building for, their family's memories. Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Adam. We started Legacy Box to help save your family's most important recorded moments so you don't have to worry.
Load Legacy Box with your old movies, film reels, and shoeboxes of photos.
We work our digitizing magic, converting those memories right to the cloud so they're safe and accessible forever.
It's fast, we always send your originals back, and it's done right here in the USA.
Over a million families have trusted Legacy Box. Better Homes and Garden, Real Simple, and Inc. Magazine are all talking about Legacy Box.
New York Times columnist David Pogue says, "Have them digitized. I wish I'd done it sooner." Take action. Save your family's memories today with Legacy Box.
Visit LegacyBox.com/Patrick, and for a limited time, get 40% off your order. That's LegacyBox.com/Patrick for 40% off.
LegacyBox.com/Patrick.
Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650, The Fan.
It's always only really good things, and it's cool to see, you know, people rally behind this team, whether it's just in our state, but, you know, across the country. I'll be traveling, and people will even recognize me for who I am, and it's cool to see the amount of attention that you brought to women's basketball and our team brought to women's basketball. So Going into this year, I hope to continue to do that and, you know, show people, like, this is something you should continue to watch.
That's the voice of reigning National Player of the Year. That's Iowa's outstanding guard, Caitlin Clark. The Iowa women's basketball team recently held its media day, and along with embracing her popularity in women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark says that the team is embracing the pressure of their expectations this season.
We want to be ranked in the top 10. We want a sold-out arena. We want fans on the road booing us. Like, that's what a competitor wants. So it's you welcome it, you enjoy it, and at the end of the day, you understand, like, this is special. Like, don't be afraid of it. Don't run away from it. Just enjoy it and soak it in, because no other Iowa women's basketball team in history has had an opportunity to be in an environment like this.
Really going to be something to see Iowa women's basketball this season, coming off of that runner-up finish a year ago. The expectations can't be any higher. The secret of Caitlin Clark is long gone. Everybody knows her. And season tickets are sold out. That's a hot ticket. Be playing in front of sold-out crowds all season long at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And they will come to the McLeod Center as well. So maybe if there's some UNI women's basketball tickets, you'd have to get a season ticket left. That might be your best value. We'll tip there. All right. Have a good night, everybody. Back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.